This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, joining us from the White House. Well, on her way from the White House.
In the car.
In the car.
Going home in a two-hour ride.
So, not crazy, as I'm sure some of you are, about her driving and talking to us. So don't look at me.
I'm not.
I know it's hard not to look at me.
I'm married.
I know. I'm just being serious.
Put a ring on it.
I'm kind of funny looking, so it's probably easier not to look at me. But April Ryan, our White House senior White House correspondent, White House bureau chief at Black Press USA. God bless you all. Well, first of all, let's start with this White House press conference. Let me let you just go, and then I'll ask some follow-up questions. But
that, so yeah. Right off the bat, Stephen Miller was DI, blah, 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 blah. He was going in on DI. I'm fast-forwarding and give you a synopsis of a synopsis. Caroline said, well, you guys keep asking him, what about the others? I said, what about DI? What about DI? Stephen Miller looked at me. And then Stephen Miller leaned back. I was like all the way up in the front against the wall. He leaned back, was like and nodding and smiling. And I had my mask on, and I was like, I want to answer to this. And Caroline leaned back as if to say, okay, but she had to roll because time constraints with the president. So I found out later on, everybody was telling me, Stephen Miller said, I wanted to answer April's question. Stephen Miller wanted to answer my question on DEI. Not going to say what I was going to ask because people watch us and they try to take my questions. So you can assume what I was going to ask. So now here's the deal. Here's the real deal. In that White House East Room event, as they're shutting down DEI, as they're anti-woke, as they're pulling federal funds from teaching anything about wokeness or DEI, the president said, acknowledged, you know, part one of the reasons why he's president is because of Black people, the African-American vote, and also the fact that he, and this is true, he got the most, I know at least of modern Republican presidents, he received the most Black votes in the last 30 years. Now I've got to juxtapose that with Richard Nixon, because I believe he had some high numbers back then. That was, that was a different time. But Richard Nixon got a lot of numbers, but it started shifting because of civil rights. And a lot of Black people went Democratic. But you have to remember, Black people by our nature, we are conservative leaning. But if you're not going to do us right, we're going to walk away from you, just like this everybody talking about Target. But anyway, there was a lot going on in that East Room. I caught on camera. I have never seen, people were so excited. It was jam-packed. Never seen people standing on chairs in the White House. Never seen that in my life. They were so enthused about Tiger Woods and the president, Tim Scott and everybody, but they booed the Pfizer president. And booed him, I was told the reason why they booed him is because of the life-saving vaccines that they have, particularly for COVID. The room was jam-packed, even spilled into the hallway. It was, the place was on a high for the black people there. It was on a high for President Trump. As a reporter, that's what I see.
So, well, now, first of all, this was people standing on chairs. This is for the Black History Month reception, correct?
Yeah.
So I want to go back to the press conference, though.
You want to go back to the briefing. Okay, go ahead.
Because that's kind of wild. So first of all, why does Stephen Miller scream so much? What is that?
He wants to get his point across. He wants to get his point across.
All right. And, you know, he came in hot. He pretty much showed every bit of disdain anybody could show for immigrants.
On DEI. And he was saying, he was saying, we're sending the criminals back. And I'm saying, are you going to qualify and quantify this? Because every migrant is not a criminal.
Right.
So, but he did talk about the gangs. But what about the others? It's just not gangs that are being sent back. It's just not gang members that are being sent back home.
And do we really even know, April, for certain is that these are actually gang members to begin with? We don't know that, do we?
No.
I mean, there's no proof of that. And I said this the other day, and let me just throw this out to you. What incentive would gang members have to come here in the first place? Because a lot of these countries, gangs are running the show. So if I'm doing well in Colombia or the DR, running on Honduras, running a gang, making money, why would I come here to work in a hotel? Does that make you understand what I'm saying? So that's why I'm wondering whether any of these
people come here. Let's explain migration to this nation, and for some people in this modern time, not back when they saw Lady Liberty or slavery, because this nation, and Barack Obama said it right, migrants and slaves. Let's say that. Migrants and slaves. So here's the thing. When people leave a country and they seek asylum, let's say Haiti, for instance, Haitians are leaving. And in this country, you seek political asylum because of unrest in the country, political unrest. Haiti is always different, you know, but Haiti has not had a democratic election. The president was assassinated. They've had earthquakes and gangs are running the country. You have to file for asylum in the country, which I don't understand how you're going to do it, really, with people scared to even go anywhere. How are you going to do that and to get here? So you try to come for safety and for a better life. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I've been there, and you've been there too. I've seen poverty. It's literally on the same island as the DR, but it's on the other side. The twain shall never meet, okay?
Right.
So here's the thing. In that poverty, I saw beauty. I'm gonna tell you how impoverished it was when I was there. I went there with Condi Rice. We went under UN, we were UN security. The UN blue helmets were protecting us. And she was talking about democracy. And we were there, and when we walked through the streets, I saw like a piece of wood that you would buy from Lowe's, not Home Depot, but from Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And I saw a piece of wood, and it was like, it was a plank. And it was slanted across the curb over top of a gutter that had all this dirty water running underneath. And they were selling meat.
Hmm.
I said, Lord, thank you. You know, you just thank God for the things that you have. The creature comforts that we have that we take for granted.
Right.
I saw them selling tires on the side of the road, cut up tires for shoes with straps on it.
Yeah. So, but again, a lot of people, as we said, who are coming are escaping gang violence.
Escaping gang violence and trying to have a better life.
So that means they're not the gangs. That's why when he keeps saying gangs, no, these are actually people.
Right. And you cannot qualify everybody as a gang member. You cannot. It just, everyone is not, you cannot do a broad brush. So that's what I learned in my HBCU and in my Catholic school that I attended. You know, you don't do a broad brush approach. So I don't know.
So now, as of, so a lot of the migrants have are losing that protective status to come here. So that's the issue. That's the issue before us.
Not only migrants are losing protective status. Do you realize I'm hearing, I'm doing a lot of interviews with people so I can do these stories for Black Press USA. Do you realize people who are transgender, who've actually identified as another sex, they were born one sex and identify as another, they're not giving them their passports now. I just found that out. There's a lot that's shutting down. And yeah. It's just starting to trickle out.
Right. So let me do this. I think I got a clip of Miller. Let me try to share this with everybody. And then we're going to...
Yes, please, because that was a strong clip.
I hopefully I had the right one. If not, you'll tell me. But the thing is, folks...
Yeah.
This is... This is really something else. So here's Stephen Miller today at the White House press briefing.
He has renamed the Gulf of Mexico, as you all know. He has renamed the Gulf of Mexico to a correct and proper name, the Gulf of America. He has renamed Mount Denali into Mount McKinley, part of a historic effort to restore patriotism and national pride all across the country.
So he was touting that as if that was such a big deal that he's renamed all these things. I mean, that's.
But that's one of the reasons why. Well, that is the reason why AP was kicked off the plane to go to Mar-a-Lago. That's the reason why they weren't allowed in certain events. But I think they did let their photographer in today. So the photographer did get in today for today's event for the Black History Month thing.
Yeah. So now moving on, I was going to stay on the briefing for a few more moments. Big conversation about Ukraine. What was your take on that?
Peter Ducey from Fox asked a brilliant question. He said, who's at fault? Is it Putin or Zelensky? Hmm. And they wouldn't say. But what we do know historically and what we've seen in the news is that Putin wants certain parts of Ukraine, and they just moved in. This has been the longest war. We have thought that, what we've thought about Russia and its military power has been proved wrong, because they're still fighting this thing. This thing is still, they're still trying to figure it out. Russia didn't win this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Russia didn't win this militarily, so they don't have... That was exposed, but in the briefing today, they would not say who was at fault. And if by what we know in history, and if I hit you, I started the fight. If I hit you and I took your lunch, I started fight. If I hit you, took your lunch and said, I'm taking your house with the swimming pool and the land, and you're not gonna say nothing about it. And if you do, I'm gonna come get my brother over here to beat you up.
Yeah.
I started the fight. It's just that simple. And we've seen this before, guys.
So I think I have that clip, folks. So this is the Ducey question. And this is not the first time we've heard this response, but it was on the record from the White House briefing room today. So here's Ducey asking the question.
Who does he think is more responsible for the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Putin or Zelensky?
Well, look, his goal, Peter, is to bring this war to an end, period. And there has been ongoing fighting on both sides. It is World War I style trench warfare. His frustration with President Zelensky is that you've heard is multifold. One, there needs to be a deep appreciation for the American people, what the American taxpayer, what President Trump did in his first term and what we've done since. So some of the rhetoric coming out of Kyiv, frankly, and insults to President Trump were unacceptable, number one. Number two, our own Secretary of Treasury personally made the trip to offer the Ukrainians what is can only be described as a historic opportunity. That is for America to co-invest with Ukraine in their...
Who does he...
So that right there was really a word salad, wasn't it? I mean, that was not an answer. We may have lost April. She's in the car. Well, you all heard it, and we'll see if April is able to rejoin. There we go. So April, that wasn't a real answer. That was a word salad. Nope. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Uh-oh. I can hear you now. I got you now. So that was not a real answer. That was a word salad.
Yeah, and but there's several things that I pulled out of it. One, he would not. And first of all, Peter Ducey said, "Who's responsible for the Russian invasion?" The answer was right there. Okay, who's responsible for the Russian invasion?
It's like me asking you, April, are you driving your own car? Right?
Oh, I don't think so. It's optics. It's optics. It's the smoke and mirrors. No, but
no. What I'm saying is that's giving you the answer in the question. You obviously
right. And but I'm giving you another answer. It's smoke and mirrors. No, I'm not driving. You know, but who's responsible for the Russian invasion? That's one. Number two.
Right.
That's from the question. Number two, which is very it's very telling to me. He said this is World War I type of invasion. Very basic. And it goes back to what I said. World War I, boots on the ground. We're supposedly beyond that now, right? This is boots on the ground. People are dying. We're supposedly beyond that. We're doing drones and all sorts of different things. Missile hits and different things. He said World War I style invasion. Mm. People are getting killed and hurt. In numbers, people are losing houses, losing things. So that was also a big deal. And they did not lay blame on Vladimir Putin, as Peter Ducey of Fox News said, who is responsible for the Russian invasion? Mm-hmm. And I even told him, that's Peter, that's a good, you asked a good question. I clapped. And he's like, thank you, April.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So again, just to recap before we leave the briefing, you had your hand up. They didn't call on you, but
and
you
I got screamed out here for DEI. Uh-huh.
You did get an indication that she
said he wanted to call on me, but everybody knew because I went back and I said, I want to talk to Stephen Miller. And they said he wanted to talk to you, but for the sake of time. Now Caroline Leavitt wanted to deal with the president, and her mother also came in today on the side. You know, mother proud of her daughter and that part.
Okay, so then we moved to the East Room. This we could all see how jam-packed it was.
Oh my God.
But that fundamentally was just a name dropping session. He just went in and started dropping a bunch of names.
As he is anti-woke, as he is anti-DEI, as he says that he's gonna pull federal funding if you're teaching African American studies. But everybody's rah-rah-rahing for a statue of Aretha Franklin, my soul war. I was listening today to her version from Malcolm X, Someday We'll All Be Free, crying mm-hmm. all morning from Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin, Coretta Scott King, and so many others. Tiger Woods was there. You know, I'm like, wow, okay. Tim Scott was there.
When we talk about Aretha and all that. So just so we're clear, this is what was announced today. They're building a garden of American heroes. So we're going to have a DEI garden, I guess, somewhere.
Well, they're not calling it DEI, but it's going to be filled with black folks.
Yeah. So.
But how do you explain? Wait a minute. How do you explain this garden when you telling people not to do the history of black folks? I am confused.
Yeah. So here's the clip on the garden, y'all. Let's
were screaming over that.
Let's take a look at the garden.
We're going to be doing a garden of American heroes. And now that I think of it, most of them, I guess all of them are not with us any longer. I was going to put Tiger in the garden, but maybe you don't want to be there. I maybe should wait a little bit, huh? Like about 50, I think I'm going to wait about 50 years, all right? But Tiger's going to make it, okay? But I'm a little afraid to tell him yes, because he'd be the only one that's living. I don't know, Tiger. Tiger's rejecting that offer, right?
So, and then he starts naming all the people, Frederick Douglass and Aretha Franklin and everybody in the world. First of all, what
Frederick
is Tiger
Douglass
doing?
Is a holdover. Frederick Douglass is a holdover from the first administration. Remember, he said he was doing a lot, and he was gonna, you know, we'll learn more about Frederick Douglass. Remember that first Black History Month? He's like, Frederick Douglass is doing a lot. We're gonna learn more about him. So now, Frederick Douglass, that learning more was a holdover from the last. Oh, and he mentioned Harriet Tubman. I said, oh, she doesn't get the 20, but she gets a statue.
Yeah. That was insane. Now, after saying, folks, that he got the most votes of any Republican president, black votes in history, let me just say this, and you mentioned this, April, in terms of Nixon. So the deal with Nixon was, Nixon may have gotten that, who knows, but fewer people voted in 1968, 1972. More people are voting now.
So but he's talking the percentage, I guess, or maybe, I don't know. Go ahead.
No, he didn't say percentage. He said numbers.
Yeah.
He actually said numbers. Let me do this. I want to switch screens because I think I have the longer version of the clip. I think this is it. Let's give this a try.
We received, listen to this, more votes from black Americans than any Republican president ever, not even close. Almost 40% of the vote. Now, I won't be happy the next time. Should I run again? You tell me. There's your controversy right there. There's your controversy. Thank you. You'll be seeing that on television. You're gonna see that tonight, Tim, on television. I want to thank just a few of the people who are with us today, and these are great friends of ours.
So there you have it. That folks, so he says that he said votes. Not a percentage.
Percentages.
So yeah. And that may be true because, like I said, more people vote pretty much every day. 70, you know, almost 180 million people, 160, 180 million people voted. So you're going to get more votes by default in a situation like that. But then,
so let me say this, huh?
Four more years thing.
That's crazy. I heard 4 more years and I couldn't understand half. It was like it got garbled. I heard 4 more years at first and I heard some other stuff. But let me say this to you. If there is another election, and if, I mean, hey, he said if you're Christian, you won't have to vote anymore. I'm still trying to find out what that is. But here's the thing. If there is another election and if he runs again, for president, if he's allowed another term, let's see how great the hurt is, because politics is personal. And I'm talking to a lot of people who are terrified, who've lost their jobs, losing their jobs. Do you realize 20% of us, people who look like you and I, work for the government. My mother was a government employee for Morgan State University, 42 and a half years until her death, my alma mater. So, I mean, I'm connected right to, I mean, I am April Ryan, who I am, from a man who owned a trucking company and a woman who worked for the government. So there are a lot of people out here who are anticipating hurt and are fearful, can't pay their mortgage. They just got fired, didn't get a severance package. They're firing employees and contractors. That is what leads. We're seeing people who said, I voted for you. And now I'm not getting SNAP. And now my farm is going up. White people. Oh, I voted for you and I'm losing my job. I guess they felt it was okay because they thought it was the other people, not them. But now it's on them. And the bottom line is you too are getting hurt like everybody else. You are not exempt because you voted for him. The pain is going to be everywhere. I don't know why I lost you. I can't hear you, Mark.
Sorry, it is my fault. Lastly, what was well, I kind of asked you about Tiger, but describe for us the...
I didn't even see him. I was all the way in the back. People were standing up on the chairs. And you know, I'm vertically challenged. I just had my phone up so people could see. I didn't even have seen Trump, but I was there listening. But I had on my comfortable shoes. Two people were upset. We stayed outside for an hour waiting to go in. But go ahead.
So it looks like they bought Tiger's presence with saying, giving him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I couldn't tell whether Tiger really wanted to be there, but they kind of said, you come here, we're going to give you the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And he only mentioned it once, which shows the lack of importance. He didn't present it to him like they normally do in the ceremony.
But this was not that ceremony to present him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. There's an act, well, this president, President Donald Trump, has done everything so differently because now he's a king, according to the official White House IG account. But he could have done it. He could do whatever he wants. But traditionally, when you have those ceremonies, it's a certain kind of solemn, serious ceremony. And it's specifically for that. That kind of rocks crowd. People, would you want to get a medal that with that kind of esteem, with people standing on the chairs and booing Pfizer and stuff? No, you want the dignified history of that room and the moment in the space that it normally is afforded instead of something like that.
But I guess what I'm saying is, why, what was the urgency to get him in there? I'm saying they must have done a carrot on a stick kind of a thing. In other words, he brought Tiger there. He said, I just gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
But it seems like he and Tiger are very good friends. It seems like, look, Donald Trump has golf courses, some of the best golf courses around the world. Okay? And what does Tiger Woods do? Come on. And that's why some of the rappers, are still down. Well, Snoop wasn't at the top. This is before Snoop switched. But some of the rappers are down with him because they would go sing in Atlantic City or wherever his casinos were and his hotels were. So you have to remember, he's not just a businessman. He is a businessman who catered to a certain type of person. And many of these people, became friends with him. And I remember on many instances, the White House used to invite Tiger Woods with Barack Obama. And I remember with George W. Bush too. But he really made a big splash today.
So before I let you go, how would you describe the black folk? And those of you watching on screen, you can see the post he made yesterday, long live the king. So he's really, then today he's talking about.
Oh no, it was not just the post. There was a picture that I retweeted on IG. It looks like Time Magazine picture and it has a crown on his head on the official White House page.
Yeah. That's right. That was that Time Magazine cover. You're right about that. Yeah.
It looked like it resembled the Time Magazine cover. Last I knew, we voted for presidents, not kings. And, you know, it reminds me of some things that the little kids say, or the kids say, you know, when you try to talk to them and tell them. You're not the boss of me. And can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got you back. You good. I got you. I got you.
You know how when the little kids say, you're not the boss of me, you're not the boss of me. There's some people saying, you're not the king of me, you're not the king of me.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, right. April's on the road, folks, so she's kind of going in and out on us. We'll give her a second and see if she comes back. I actually didn't. I saw the Truth Social post. I actually did not see the Instagram post. So that's a little crazy. The White House, what they did was actually share the Time Magazine post. Here it is right here. I'll share this with you all now so you can see it for yourselves. But and we'll see if we can get we'll keep trying. We may have lost her, but we'll see if we can get her back. But here, I believe, here we go. Here is the post that the White House shared on Instagram, everybody. So you can kind of, you know, see that for what it is. The king. He is the king, or whatever, you know, you want to say about that. All right. Update from April Ryan. She's on the road. Which again is not ideal, but you know, she's got to get home. What a day, another interesting day at the White House. I'm going to, you all be with me just by way of information, those of you who are here. I want to just try to share one more clip from the press briefing. And this is Caitlin Collins of CNN. Asking a question of the White House regarding, once again, who is to blame for Ukraine.
Question. You wrote in an op-ed in the fall of 2023 that, quote, Putin is to blame, certainly like Al-Qaeda was to blame for 9/11. Mm-hmm. Do you still feel that way now, or do you share the president's assessment as he says Ukraine is to blame for the start of this war?
Well, it shouldn't surprise you that I share the president's assessment on all kinds of issues. What I wrote as a member of Congress was as a former member of Congress. Look, what I share the president's assessment on is that the war has to end.
Question. You wrote in an op-ed in the fall of 2020.
So that's Mike Waltz, the National Security Advisor, being called to account for, you know, one time blaming Putin, but now everybody, including Marco Rubio, everybody's backing away. Everybody's pulling back from that. And that, too, is very, very problematic. All right. We had a little live with April Ryan. Appreciate her. April, be safe on the road. We'll check in with you. God bless you. God bless you all. We continue to watch these things as they unfold. In the meantime, it has been made plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.